Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to you all. Your Lordship comes to you in the form of Mr. Tommy Lorenzo Hart, a former Christian preacher minister. He is author of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. My Lord would like to share the findings of his 38-year study on the contents of the book commonly known as the King James Bible, but which Mr. Hart says is the Vatican's one and only authorized version of the Bible. Our Father is not a Christian or a religionist. He has come to unravel Vatican deception by decrypting Bible content. Our Lord brings to light the secrets of the Vatican and reveals the now 400-year stratagem with the level-headed study and analysis unlike any other. His Excellency unscrambles the authorized version's confusing text and separates truth from fiction. He defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, and God. His premise, the King James Version, written in 1611, is a book of law, the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white. The Vatican is a governmental body, institution, for the purpose of subjugating all non-white people and undermining all whom they call black or African people worldwide through what Vatican law deemed the curse, all while hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion, using the Bible in perversity and deceit. Mr. Hart's bibliography is the King James Bible, the authorized version of the Roman Catholic Church, a product of the Vatican. So without further ado, I want to introduce the host of the show, my Lord, Tommy Hart. Father, are you with us?
Yes, I am here, Mr. Welch, and thank you. Reading the description from last week's program, Statement of Interest, Jeremiah 15:4, I will cause them, the Africans, to be removed into all kingdoms, animal, vegetable, and mineral kingdoms of the earth. That is a papal statement. The preceding Jeremiah 15:4 statement is fulfilled in the Revelation 18:12-13 statement. In the papacy's law of the curse, the papacy formally and authoritatively charged the Gentiles with the task of making war with, defeating, subduing, and subjugating the aboriginal black people of Africa. The law of the curse authorized the Gentile armies to join forces in order to take over the land of Africa and to bring into captivity its people. The Jeremiah 15:4 statement and Revelation 18:12-13 statement clearly shows the papacy dehumanized the Africans. It removed the Africans from the category of homo sapiens, and put them in a class of assorted things, merchandise, a class of things that are bought and sold. In the two statements, Jeremiah 15:4 and Revelation 18:12-13, which I regard as one complete statement, the papacy commodified the aboriginal people of Africa. The statement Jeremiah 15:4 and Revelation 18:12-13 is a part of the papal curse against the people of African descent. The papacy sold the African people into captivity and slavery. It is evident in the papal curse, Psalm 106:41-42, he, the papacy, gave them, the Africans, into the hand of the heathen Gentiles. And they, the Gentiles, that hated them, the Africans, ruled over them, the Africans. There the Africans' enemies, the Gentiles, also oppressed them, the Africans, and they, the Africans, were brought into subjection under their, the Gentiles' hand. In this episode, I will show a very simple thing. I will show one who sits alone and give the reason why he sits alone. And who are they which have a mark in their forehead? And the issue of avouchments, what are all these avouchments in the AVB? Also, this accuser of the brethren, who is he? And who are these brethren? We will see all these things in this episode of Lawmaster's Law of God broadcast. And with that introductory statement, I begin my lecture for today. Now, a key verse or statement of interest is John 5:33. John 5:33 says this: He bear witness to the truth. In the preceding, in the three preceding episodes of this broadcast, I have been talking about and setting forth the plaintiff's complaint. And we will deal with that further in this lecture. But we will see who this person or this individual is. We will see who this individual represents that is mentioned in John 5:33. He bear witness to the truth. Let there be light. Genesis 1:3. What does that statement say? It says, allow light to exist. Let light be. Allow light to exist. Now in Genesis 1, in Genesis 1:4, the statement says, God saw the light, that it was good. It goes on to say, and God divided the light from the darkness. We see one definition of light in Proverbs 6:23. It says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Let light exist. Today, I will continue talking on or speaking on the light coming from the plaintiff. The light coming from the plaintiff. And definition of light here is information, knowledge. Information, key information coming from the plaintiff. All right. So I begin. John 12:36. Let light exist. Light is knowledge. Light is information. What are we to do with the light? And what is that light or that information? I turn to John 12:36. John 12:36 says, let me start with John 12:35, which says, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. It's good to have light. It's good to have information. It's good to have good, reliable information. The crucial content of the AVB, alias King James Version, is authoritative. I said the crucial content of the AVB is authoritative. Now, walk while ye have the light. He that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Walking in darkness, being uninformed, is not good at all. Being misguided and misled is not good at all. Having information that is not sound, that is not accurate, is not good at all. Verse 36, while you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Children of light. Children having knowledge. Children having understanding. Children having information. The exhibit in Ephesians 5 has something to say on the light, but we see that the light is information. We should walk with respect to the light. We should walk with respect to that which is true, that which is sound, that which is good. Everything good or sounds good is not what? Is not sound. Everything that sounds good is not sound information. Ephesians 5:8, walk as children of light. It's just about the same thing that we read in John. John 12:36. Believe in the light that ye may be the children of light. Okay. Believe in the light. Walk with respect to the light. Believe that which is according to truth. We move on. I have been, now here in Ephesians 4:14, the last statement in the verse says, Christ shall give thee light. Okay, Christ shall give thee light. Is that true? What have I been doing on this program? I have been setting forth light. I have been giving light. Ephesians 4:13 says, whatsoever doth make manifest is light. The complete verse says, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Light still meaning knowledge, information. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And in verse 14, Ephesians 4, the last statement says, Christ shall give thee light. I've been given light. I've been given knowledge. I've been given truth of Bible content since the inception, since this program was launched. Setting forth truth. Truth of what? Truth of Bible content, truth of the crucial matter of Bible content, knowing that the authorized version's matter consists of fiction and it consists of truth. We read, or I read, in Genesis 1, God saw the light, God separated the light from the darkness. I have separated truth from fiction. Okay? That's what I have done. That is evident in the many episodes of this, my Law Master's Law of God broadcast. The setting forth of light, the setting forth, the dispensing and setting forth of knowledge and understanding of the crucial matter of Bible content. This is the first time this has happened publicly since black people were freed. Before this time, black people did not have and have not had access to the truth of Bible content. Now, we have access to truth. And we do need people to continue with the truth, this truth, and also to teach this truth. Believe the light, walk in the light, love the light, teach the light, teach the truth, the knowledge of truth of Bible content. So God saw the light. God separated the light from the darkness. And as I stated earlier, that's what I do. I separate truth from fiction in the authorized version, using the authorized version, Bible. I must move on. Okay, how do you feel about the light? That's a good question to you, the listener. How do you feel about the light? Okay, do you love truth? Are you receiving, are you accepting truth? Are you believing the truth? Truth is not, entertaining. Okay? I am not here to entertain people. I am here to inform people, what people, all people, whosoever will listen. I am here to inform, not to entertain. Okay? The task before me, I read, exhibit Proverbs 31, 8 through 9. Okay. I read, the task before me, open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. We know, I have brought it forth, that the plaintiff in his complaint says he is poor and needy. But he says more than that. He says he says he is a black man, and he says he is poor and needy. My task, given to me by Bible content says, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. That's a commandment, people. Those are not just words, that's a commandment. Somebody has to, it's commanding somebody to do that. It's commanding me to do that because I hear it and I want to do that and I seek to do that. That's a part of my work. And what work am I doing in the behalf of the poor and needy? Overall, I'm presenting truth to the poor and needy. The poor and needy, one, is in need of truth of Bible content because the poor and needy have been so deceived by the Gentiles. That's no secret. The poor and needy have been so deceived and misled by the Gentiles as the poor and needy came out of slavery. The things that the Gentiles taught the slaves, such as Jesus died for your sin, all like that, the religious rhetoric, black people, the poor and needy have not moved from that information since we were slaves, since it was given to us when black people were slaves. Now is the time for truth. For truth. So, we continue. My task. All right? That was Exhibit 1, Proverbs 31, 8 through 9. Next, Psalm 82, verse 3. Says, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Okay? So let me read those two statements together because the two statements make one statement. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. That's a work. That is a work to be done. Okay? All right. Moving on. As I said earlier, the plaintiff has identified himself as, number one, a black man. Number two, he is poor and needy. And the work that is set before me speaks about the poor and needy, Proverbs 31, 9. It speaks about the dumb, Proverbs 31, 8. It speaks about the fatherless, Psalm 82, 1. Fatherless, meaning, to give you an example, the Gentiles have a father, okay? And one of his titles is Holy Father, the Holy See, the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. Black people have not had a father, all right? I know since the Gentile invasion of Africa, black people have not had a father in that capacity. All right, so that's the fatherless that is mentioned or spoken of in Psalm 82:3 when it says, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted. The poor and fatherless have been afflicted, and the poor and fatherless are needy. The poor and fatherless were made dumb throughout the course of the enslavement era. The poor and the fatherless were once all appointed to destruction. Of course, the poor and the fatherless were destroyed. They were taken away from their homeland, many of them. They were scattered abroad. They were captured, taken into captivity at the hand of the Gentiles, and suffered all kinds of afflictions. And I will talk about some of those afflictions today. All right? Okay. So we can have a good understanding of the phrase in the Bible, poor and needy, poor and fatherless, the afflicted, okay? All of these things have to do with black people who were taken captive by the Gentiles long time ago. Okay, things, I tell you what, Mr. Welch, let's have an announcement, please. Let me read this statement first as you prepare for the announcement. Hebrews. Okay. Okay. Hebrews 12:21, I believe. No, Hebrews 12, verse 27. Said. It speaks of the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. I will speak on that right after the announcements. Mr. Welch.
Thank you, Father. To the listeners, if you would like to receive your copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, go to www.lawmaster.co. That's www.lawmaster.co. On the left side of the webpage, click the manuscript and the PayPal button inscribed Donate. For a $12 donation, you will be redirected to a link and download your very own copy in PDF format. Also, become a member to the website and post videos, photos, and take advantage of the links, free books, and email feature amongst members. You can also visit us on YouTube. Go to www.youtube.com/lawofgods. Again, youtube.com/lawofgods. One word. You can find Mr. Hart on Facebook. Simply type The Book of the Law of God. You may post on the news feed any stories, links, videos, and articles relating to the context of the show. Feel free to start discussions, ask questions, make comments, and dialogue. You can now follow His Excellency on Twitter. That's twitter.com. Search Tommy L. Hart. Again, Tommy L. Hart. You will find these links here on the show page. And remember, keep listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Back to you, my lord.
Thank you, Mr. Welch. Hebrews 12:27. The removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. Okay, that as of things that are made. What things are made or what things were made in the context of that which we speak. Now let's turn to Psalm 100. Okay. Psalm 100, verse 3. The plaintiff says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture." Now remember, in the past that is set before me, I read the plaintiff asked for deliverance. Remember? He asked for deliverance. He asked for deliverance. Let's see if I can go back to that for just a moment. Just a moment. All right. The task was deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. That's Psalm 82:4. Okay? So the poor and the needy, the afflicted, need to be delivered. The poor and the needy need to be delivered from their ignorance. Oftentimes, one can be ignorant, and he's the last one to know that he's ignorant. We've been misled. We've been misguided with regard to Bible content, and that's just a fact. That's just the truth. And we need deliverance. Yes, the chains have been taken off our legs, shackles and all. Removed from our hands, arms, wrists, whatever they were. Those things, the physical chains have been removed. But he says, know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us. Who is us? The poor and the needy. Who is us? It is this right here. Esther. Exhibit Esther 7:4. Plaintiff says, remember this, Esther 7:4, for we are sold. We are sold. Need to be delivered. Now, you may not know that they are sold. They've been sold. But these are the facts right here. The plaintiff is setting forth the facts. All right? And the facts are going to be avouched. They're going to be confirmed. We are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. And we read something with regard to this, the destruction of the poor in the Proverbs 31 statement. I want to take this slow. I want to take it real slow, because that's why I'm dealing with the plaintiff and the class action lawsuit, you know, that's posed here. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. The plaintiff says, for we are sold, I and my people, to destroy, be slain, and perish. Okay. And also I showed last week, and it needs going over, Psalm 102, Psalm 106. Who sold them? He said, the prophet said, he stated that he and his people are sold to be slain, to be destroyed, and to perish. We get an answer to that right here. In Psalm 46:41, and he gave them into the hand of the heathen. The papacy, he represents the papacy. The papacy gave them, the Africans, into the hand of the heathen. Heathen is representative of the Gentiles here, because that's who that conquered us, okay? And that's who did the work of the papacy in bringing all black people into captivity. The papacy gave them, the black people, into the hand of the heathen, Gentiles, and they, the Gentiles, hated them, the Africans, ruled over them. Did that not happen? The Bible says, what is truth? Is that truth? That is the truth with regard to Gentiles and black people. That is truth. Truth is that which is according to reality, says Webster. That which is according, that which actually happens, that which is real, that which actually happens, that which actually exists. Okay. The Bible talks so much about the enslavement era. And hence, it talks so much about Gentiles and black people. Right? Remember the curse? I only read a portion of the curse last week, which is all. Okay? A whole lot of matter in the Bible on the Gentile invasion, conquest, and subsequent gathering, etc., of black people. Love fits the information. It fits, number one, the Gentiles, and it fits, number two, the black people. Everything in the plaintiff's complaint fits. Don't have to force it. It fits naturally because actually, the things actually happen and fit. All right. Now, I turn to Psalm 100. Free to show you that what was made in response to statement I read in Hebrews 12:27, removing those that are shaken as of things that are made, and removing the word things that are made. Okay? Black people made what? By the Gentiles. Do you know your history? Do you know your Bible? This information is history. This information in the Bible is history. Black people were made things. They were made a commodity that can be bought and sold. Think about the slave market. Here in the United States, you know, as well as elsewhere, other European countries and all throughout the Roman Empire. Think about slave people, the Bible to all these things. Okay?
Pardon me, Your Lordship?
Yes.
I wanted to point out that your phone signal is going in and out.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll hold the mic closer. Thank you.
Yes.
Is this better?
It's still a little bit cutting out.
Okay. Okay, I'll talk a little louder then.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay, thank you. All right. Okay. Let me read this statement right here, Psalm 80, verse 3. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Psalm 80, verse 18. So will not we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Okay? But things that are made. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. And what did he make black people? He made them things. He took them out of the class of Homo sapiens and put them into a much inferior class that he made up. He, the papacy, made up a class of assorted things, a class of assorted things that are bought and sold. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. The poor man in his complaint says, he says, I quote, I am poor and needy. End of quote. Who made him poor and needy? He said, it is the Lord that has made them. The Lord made them poor. The Lord made them needy. And elsewhere in Scripture, it does say the Lord, all caps, says that he makes poor and he makes rich. The Bible says that, and I believe that. Don't let me quote it because I may be wrong. But the Bible does say that the Lord maketh rich and he maketh poor. Okay? He made black people what? Poor. He made them a thing, a commodity that not only could be but was bought back to Hebrews 12:27. The removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Can you be shaken? That's the question coming out of this. Can you be moved? 1 Thessalonians 3:3. And I'm going to try to move fast now because I'm really behind. 1 Thessalonians 3:3. Okay. No man should be moved by these afflictions. And I'm going to iterate some afflictions. No man should be moved by these afflictions. I have been moved by the things that I see, that I have seen in Bible. I have been moved. What does move mean? Move mean cause to act, do, etc. To cause to act, do, etc., speak, whatever, you know, etc. All right? I have been moved. I have been moved to do what I am doing now on this Blog Talk Radio, on this Blog Talk Radio. I have been moved to do what I've done in writing documents on Bible content and trying to get the information out to black people, and not only black people, but whosoever will receive. Okay? I have been moved by the things I have seen in the AVB, alias King James Version. The question to you is, can you be moved? Can you be moved? Have you been moved? Will you be moved? Will you be moved now? Because we are in a battle. As I said, and as you heard me read the scriptures, the poor and the fatherless the needy need truth. We've been lied to. We've been given a bill of goods. Been given a bill of goods, something that is no good. Okay? And we need deliverance from that. He said, deliver him that, what? Psalm, like Psalm 82. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Now, that's Bible content. The poor and needy are in the hand of the wicked, and the task before me and you, I hope, is to remove them out of the hand of the wicked. I didn't write that. I read that. Okay? Whose hand are they in? They're in the hand of the Lord. They're in the hand of the papacy. Okay, to put it plainly and simple. They are in the hand of the papacy. They are under the hand of the papacy, whether they know it or not. Okay, they may not know it, but they are. All right. And when did that happen? That occurred starting at the time when the Gentile forces combined armies and invaded Africa. Not only did they invade and conquer. They took possession of the people, the lands, the resources, everything, even the people's bodies. Huh? And do you know what? There has never, I don't know of an official document wherein they declared that the captives, you know what I'm saying, that we are no longer captives. Because as far as the Bible is concerned, so it states, we're still captives. The poor man is still a captive. Okay? He may not know he's a captive, but in the eyes of the Lord, the papacy, he's a captive. He's still a captive. He's been a captive so long, he has forgotten he is a captive. Isn't that something? Been a captive so long, I got to repeat it. Been a captive so long, he has forgotten he is a captive. No wonder he appeals to God for help and for deliverance. Okay, but who is actually doing the appealing? This is the voice which speaks in behalf of the poor, the dumb. Remember the dumb, that word in Proverbs 31? Okay, open our mouth for the dumb. You need a lawyer. Okay, all right, which reminds me of this statement, and I see that I'm not going to cover all my information today. But this is very needed. It's very needed. There's a statement in the Bible that says, lean not, you know, to your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding, lean not to your own understanding, however one wants to say it. Okay, what does that mean? Lean not to your own understanding. It means just what it says. Don't lean on your own understanding. And do you know what? That, number one, that is a precept. That's a precept. All right? And it's practical advice. And it is advice that most people practice. Don't lean on your own understanding. When you get sick, what do? If you're able to and have the money to, you go to a doctor. You don't lean on your own understanding. You go to a doctor. You get a toothache, you go to a doctor. If it hurts bad enough, you can't stop it. You go to a doctor. You don't lean. You stop leaning on your own understanding. And you go to. You find a dentist. Okay, for a toothache. All right, but that's what that means. That means seek competent counsel. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding with regard to Bible content. Don't do that. You say, okay, you lean on the understanding of the preacher. Well, he's ill-informed. If you want truth, you don't go to the church to get it. Because the church teaches you actually to fight the truth and be against the truth when it comes forth. Okay? If you want the truth, let me put it like this. The Bible states it simply and clearly. Truth comes from God. All right? Now, the question is, who is God? All right? What have I told you at the beginning of this episode? I said, I have been setting forth truth of Bible content. That's what this program is all about. Each and every episode, I set forth truth of Bible content. Right? Truth comes from God. I set forth truth of Bible content. That's a fact. Okay? It says Christ will give you light. What do? I give you light of Scripture. The understanding. I inform you of Scripture. I give you understanding. Give the sense. The proper sense. Okay. Mr. Welch, give another final announcement, and then I'll come back and speak again, please.
You're listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio with His Excellency, Tommy Hart. We encourage everyone to please call in with questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6262. Again, 718-664-6262. And don't forget to visit the website lawmaster.co. Pick up a copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God. The manuscript is easy to read, a text your lordship compiled, the result of 38 years of study and analysis, unraveling the truth of Bible content. Join the site freely, become a member, and post videos and photos. Email us with your feedback and link us to Facebook, Twitter, and other networking sites of your choosing. Help us spread the word. Remember, you can find Mr. Hart's interviews on YouTube. Search Law of Gods. If you feel it's time to break a half millennium spell of religious enslavement, you've tuned into the right channel. Keep listening to The Lawmaster right here on Blog Talk Radio. Break free of Vatican deception.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. West, for those announcements again. Okay, one of the last statements that I read was 1 Thessalonians 3:3, which says, no man should be moved, and I have been moved by the things that I've seen in Bible content, and I have also been moved by the afflictions of the poor and needy that I see in the Authorized Version, that the poor and needy suffer at the hand of the Gentiles. I have been moved. Okay? Now, Hebrews 12:27, I've got to move on now. Hebrews 12:27 says, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. What kingdom is he speaking about? Let me show you. Okay, turn to Revelation 18:12-13. Revelation 8:12-13. That's the kingdom right there. The merchandise of gold and silver, et cetera, et cetera. Verse 13, and cinnamon and odors and all like that, and wheat and flour and chariots and slaves. That's the kingdom that he's speaking about when he speaks of, when he speaks in Hebrews 12:28. We, the Gentiles, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Okay? Can black people be moved? Let me say this. Gold can be moved from one place to another. It can be transferred. You know what I'm saying? Its location can be transferred. Same with ivory. Same with pearls, linen, and all like that. Slaves can be moved from one place to another. But gold is not emotional. Pearls and linen and silk and ivory and wine and oil and flour and wheat, sheep. They are not emotional. They are not emotional in the sense, you know, people are emotional. All right? People are emotional. People can be moved. Now, the question again to you is, can you be moved by the things you are hearing? And if you are, you know, using your Bible, excuse me, as I go through, as I, you know, go along with my lecture, if you're using your Bible, the things you can see, can you be moved? Are you being moved? That's the question. Are you being moved to act with God, to connect with God? Okay. Let's see here. Book of Acts. Okay, I'm turning to Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. Watch this. Do you believe the truth? Do you believe the things that I'm bringing forth? All that believed were together. Are you with me? Are you with me? All that believed were together. Are you with me? As I am with the truth of Bible content. Okay. Ephesians, back to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 5, verse 1. All that believed were together. Be ye therefore followers of God. That's a commandment. That's a commandment. Be ye therefore followers of God. And I know the time is running out for the screening. I'll continue for a while. Be ye therefore followers of God. And I'm not talking about a God up in the sky. The God that has seen the light in Bible content in the Authorized Version Bible, the God that has separated light from darkness, the God that has separated truth from fiction, in the AVB. Are you with me? Now, a kingdom that cannot be moved. If you're not being moved by the things you hear on this broadcast, then you know what that is evident of? That is evident that what they have said about you in the Bible is true, and that you are still in that class described and pictured in Revelation 18, verses 12 through 13. All right. That's what that means. Okay. You can be moved. You are a human being. You are a person, and you should be moved by the things you are hearing. You should be moved. You should be moved to act and do something positively and constructive. Do something that is positive and constructive. Okay, now what should you do? Be followers of God. Be a follower not only of this program. You know, it says it gives a number of followers when I look at my, you know, page and look at the stats and all like that. It says followers. Nobody's gotten in touch with me. Nobody has gotten in touch with me of those that are listed as followers. You know, does that mean that they, you know, maybe tune into a program every now and then? Because nobody has gotten in touch with me. Nobody. The word said all that believed were together. Okay. Together. Not separated. Together. They come together as a unit. They join forces. Like the Gentiles joined forces, you know what I'm saying, and did all the things to us. They join forces. All right? Let's move on. I do want to share this here. It's so much. It's not overwhelming. The law of sackcloth. Turn to Psalm 35:13. Psalm 35:13. But as for me, this is the plaintiff talking. Let me start with the word my. Psalm 35:13. My clothing was sackcloth. Okay? That's the plaintiff speaking. He's saying his clothing was sackcloth. Did you know what type of clothing slaves wore? That's just one statement. I have several others here to go along with it. Slaves wore sackcloth. That's all. They wore sackcloth. You know what a sackcloth is? Look in the dictionary. It's cheap and it's tough cloth. Cheap, tough cloth. Some of you maybe have never seen a crocker sack before, crocker bag or whatever you call it. But his clothing was sackcloth. Sackcloth. That's what slaves wore. And remember, the plaintiff speaks not only for himself, in behalf of himself, but he speaks for all the poor and needy, all those who were afflicted. As he was. He speaks for the whole. Even when he uses singular pronouns. He speaks for the whole of it. Sometimes, as you notice in his complaint, he uses I, me, my, and other times he uses we, our, us, you know. But whether he's speaking using the singular case or the plural case, he speaks for the whole. All right. Slaves wore sackcloth. That was the law for slaves. That was the paper law that the Gentiles enforced. Their slaves wore sackcloth. Now, he speaks about, and I started to say let's move on, but let's continue with this. Isaiah 15:3. Isaiah 15:3 says, they shall gird themselves with sackcloth. That's speaking about the slaves. They shall gird themselves with sackcloth. Okay? We're reading the law of sackcloth. Okay? The law that has to do with the slaves' clothing. All right? They didn't wear clothing made out of cotton and nylon material and polyester and all like that, satin, velvet, and all. Their clothing was sackcloth, period. My clothing was sackcloth. They shall gird themselves with sackcloth. Isaiah 32:11. Isaiah 32:11. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare. And gird sackcloth upon your loins. That's speaking of into the slaves. They wore sackcloth. Okay. Isaiah 50:3. This is a confession coming from the papacy. I make sackcloth their clothing. The papacy is admitting that he is behind that, that it is the papacy that is behind that. The slaves covering their clothing. He said, I make sackcloth their covering. Very important. All of these are very important statements. One is no more important than the other. All right? But that's an admission, that's confession, an acknowledgement, a papal acknowledgement. All right. So you can ask the question, why did slaves wear sackcloth? That's because, and I read the statement, the papal statement, you know, they shall gird themselves with sackcloth. That's the law. All right. Okay. Ezekiel 7:18. Ezekiel 7:18, they shall also gird themselves with sackcloth, and horror shall cover them, and shame shall be upon all faces, and baldness upon all heads. Okay. That's the law that has to do with the clothing worn by the slaves. Okay. 1 Kings 20:32. So they girded sackcloth on their loins. That's a confirmation or a summary statement. So they girded sackcloth on their loins. So you have the complaint coming from the plaintiff saying sackcloth was his clothing. You have the admission coming from the papacy saying that they caused that to be. You have this affirmational statement, confirmational, saying here in 1 Kings 20, verse 32, so they are summary statement, so they girded sackcloth on their loins. Isaiah 15:2. Isaiah 15:2, listen, on all their heads shall be baldness and every beard cut off. Now get the picture. All slaves wore sackcloth, not just the men or not just the women, all. Don't miss this. On all their heads shall be baldness and every beard cut off. Don't just think that that statement is talking about men. No, on all there. Who is the there? Who is the all there? The all there is a reference to the slaves. All the slaves. On all their heads. Male, Gentile. I'm sorry. Male, female. It doesn't matter. On all the heads of the slaves shall be baldness, and every beard cut off. So, what do we see about the slaves? That they all wore sackcloth, period. All their heads were shaven, and they didn't wear beards. Turn to Isaiah 53. That's not Isaiah. Okay. I thought about a passage. I thought I could turn right to it, but that's all right. We'll continue. While I'm here at Isaiah 54, O thou afflicted, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted. Who? Now you should know clearly who the afflicted is here by now. O thou afflicted. What did the plaintiff say? He says, I am the man that has seen affliction. I am the man that has experienced affliction. All right. But baldness, bald heads, no beards, sackcloth. Now, with the bald heads, with the no beards, and with the sackcloth, if you're not just right up on someone where you could see every bulge and everything, you might not could distinguish a male from a female slave. You might have had to get right up on them to see whether or not that was a male or female. And you know, in the buying, in the trading of slaves, the Gentiles would come up and actually feel on, open the mouth like they would a horse or something, and do all of that to the slaves. You know, handle them like things, like they would a horse or something, you know? This is real. But my point here was that you might have had to really get up real close to one to see whether or not it was a male or female. And might would have had to, you know, touch because of sackcloth, I'm pretty sure they didn't have it fitting, you know, snugly, especially how women wear their clothes, you know, skirts and pants and, you know, tight, and you can see every whatever, every curve and all like that. No, it wasn't like that. The sackcloth wasn't like that. It was just a sack. You know, it was a sack that they put over the heads and, you know, and put over the body. Sackcloth. It was a sack. Another word for sackcloth is sacking. Cheap material. Cheap, rough material. What are we getting? We're getting a picture of slaves rather than just, you know, tossing the word slave around, just toss it around. Yeah, okay. No big deal, you know. This is the Bible picture of those who were enslaved, of a picture of those who were afflicted. Enslavement was an affliction upon black people. Okay. Now, Revelation 13:16. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now the question is that statement accurate? What do I say? The Bible teaches on a matter, then it comes back and gives a test on it. Okay? Let's see what it teaches about the mark. It's not far from here. It's not far at all. Turn back to Revelation 7, verse 3. And you have another admission coming from the papacy. And the papacy speaks for all Gentiles, okay? It speaks for itself and all Gentiles, all other Gentiles. Here it is. We have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, turning back to Revelation 13. What does that verse say? 13, verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. No, he causes the poor. He causes the afflicted. He causes the black. He causes the slaves to receive a mark in their foreheads. That's what they admitted to. We have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, why are they called the servants of our God? Who is their God? Who is the hour? Who are the servants? Of course, the servants are slaves. Those taken into captivity by the Gentiles from Africa. We're told that. We have sealed, the we is a reference to the Gentiles. We have sealed the servants, the slaves, of our God, the papacy, whoever is the sitting, living pope at that time, in their foreheads. Okay? That's an admission. Everything in Revelation 13:16 is not true. He didn't cause the Gentiles to receive a mark in their foreheads. He caused the slaves to receive a mark in their forehead. All right? The picture of a slave, male, female, if you're looking off at a distance, you couldn't tell the male from the female. All wore sackcloth, and I'm pretty sure they all put it on the same way. One didn't have pants made of sackcloth, and the other have a dress or a skirt made of sackcloth. It was a sack. A sack. And they pulled over themselves to cover their nakedness. All right? So, bald heads, no beard, sackcloth, a seal in the forehead, a mark in the forehead of all of them, of all the afflicted, of all those of the captivity, of all those who were made slaves, of all those who were poor and needy, a reference to black people. Maybe others as well, but to black people. Okay? Picture of a slave. Remember, the plaintiff said about the Lord, he pointed his finger at the Lord, the papacy, okay? At the Lord, the papacy, he said, know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that has made us. He made us like this. He made us bald. He made us poor. He made us afflicted. He made us no beard. He made us wear sackcloth. It is he that has made, he made us wear a mark in our forehead. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. It's not our fault that we are in this condition. It is the fault of the papacy. And one of the titles of the papacy is Lord. One of the titles of the Pope is Lord. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We didn't do this to ourselves. Picture of a slave. Doesn't look like I'm going to. Let me give one or two avouchments before I close out. Avouchments. I said I would speak on the avouchments. Okay. An avouchment is an open acknowledgement. The word, the verb avouch means to declare the truth of. Okay? Now, one statement. Nehemiah 4:4. Let's see what that statement says. Nehemiah 4:4. Nehemiah 4:4 says, hear, O our God, for we are despised. Notice the plaintiff is using the plural pronoun we in this statement. Hear, O our God, and he appeals to God. Hear, O our God, he says, for we are despised. Do we have an avouchment for that? Well, let's turn to Isaiah 53. The plaintiff claims that he and his people are despised. Isaiah 53 says, Isaiah 53 verse 3 says, he is despised. And remember that he, the, you know, whether they use the singular or the plural form of pronoun, they're still talking about the whole. He is despised. Who is the he? The he that is poor and needy, the he that has seen affliction, the he that is bald, made bald, the he that was without a beard, the he that was dressed in sackcloth, the he that wore a mark in his forehead. He is despised. All right? That's an avouchment. That's an affirmational statement. Isaiah 53:3. He is despised, and that is because the plaintiff said in his complaint, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised." So it is confirmed that you are despised. Okay, and it is corroborated. Okay, that the slaves were despised by their Gentile holders. All right. Okay. Here he says in Hebrews 12:21. A part of the complaint says, "I exceedingly fear and quake." Remember the "I." You could put "we" in there because the "I" is representative of the whole of the enslaved, the whole of the poor and needy. "I exceedingly fear and quake." All right. Let's see if we have an avouchment for that. Can that be confirmed? Can it be corroborated? Let's go to the book of Acts. Okay. Let's see here. Okay, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's an avouchment. The plaintiff said that I exceedingly fear and quake. The affirmational statement says they were all of the afflicted, all the enslaved, all the Africans, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, what is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is a code name or secret name for intense fear. Okay? In the Bible, the Holy Ghost is a secret name for fear, intense fear. Okay? So the Holy Ghost speaks of an emotion. And the emotion is fear. All right? And it is evidenced by what? Trembling. Okay? He said, "I exceedingly fear and quake." So again, we have a complaint, and we have the complaint being corroborated. We have an affirmation. We have a confirmation. So we can see that the plaintiff, the complaints are upheld. Okay. The complaints are supported. All right. I believe I will stop there. But we covered quite a bit today. And we see how all of these things fit together in the making of the plaintiff's complaint. He appeals to God. He sets forth his statements of complaint. Excuse me. And things continue in the same vein. The complaints are upheld. They are corroborated. They are confirmed. The complaints receive affirmation. We looked at the slave's clothing and realized that his/her clothing was sackcloth. We looked at the head of the afflicted, the poor and needy, the enslaved, and saw that the heads must be bald because of the papal edict. We looked at the papal, the the poor man's forehead, and we saw that there was a mark on his forehead. Okay? And finally, we saw that the complaint has to be corroborated. It has to be confirmed, each complaint. Mr. Welch, that's it for today.
Yes, Your Excellency.
Yes, sir.
I have one question, and before I state that, we have two callers in the queue. At this time, if you would like to call in and talk with our Lord, please raise your hand and we will bring you in. Okay, so what I wanted to say is the Bible is, in fact, a law book, but I'm learning also that it is a history book, and much of the information that has taken place much of history that has taken place is corroborated in Bible content. But I have one question for you. Can you elaborate for us what you mean when you say that the slaves are bald?
Bald?
Yes, sir.
Did you say bald?
That, bald.
As in bald-headed?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what I said was, excuse me, the papal edict required that the slaves' heads be bald. That means all the hair cut off. And that's what the Gentiles did. They carried out the papal edict so that, you know, you couldn't look at the slave's head and determine that one was a female and the other one was a male, because they're all bald-headed. Yeah. And just like the clothing. They all wore sackcloth alike, not different. One style or version for the male and one for the female. It was all alike. So that if you were standing afar off, you see individuals that are bald-headed. None of them have beards. They all have this same dress like sackcloth, you know, over their body, you know, so that you can't tell male from female until you go up right close. You know what I'm saying? And take a closer look.
Yes, yes.
Now, was that what you were referring to when you asked the question about the baldness?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just wanted to make sure that I heard you clearly.
Yeah, they're all bald-headed. The Gentiles kept their heads bald because of the papal edict. Now, the slaves belonged, as I read the statement, but I didn't comment on it. I read the scripture, but made no comment. The slaves belonged to the papacy. Okay? That's why they said the servants of our God. We have sealed the servants or slaves belonging to our God, the papacy. So that must be understood. The slaves belonged to the papacy. And the papacy, allowed the Gentiles to buy. And it also allowed them to sell. But whose servants were they? They were the servants of, as the scripture said in the confession statement, we have sealed the servants of our God, and the word of there means belonging to our God in their foreheads. You were about to say something?
Yes, and you touched on it just now, about the mark in the forehead that you stated so eloquently. The other part of that statement of revelation, that verse, is when I think of the forehead, I think of the part of the brain, which is called the frontal lobe. And in the frontal lobe is where all of the thinking takes place. And if the slaves, if non-Gentile slaves have the mark in their forehead, the seal, which is, you know, the mark is also the seal in the forehead. What I take from that is the thinking of has been compromised by the Vatican, the papacy, and the law, which has, of course, been drummed into us through psychological trauma, of course. There would be no other way to do it in a just manner, I guess you could say. But essentially, I wanted to point out that the frontal lobe is the area where all thinking, where all cognitive thoughts take place, and it's right in the forehead area.
Okay.
So we do.
Okay. Let me comment on that. If you finished on that,
I'm finished.
on that thing.
I'm finished.
Okay. You can say that, but the scripture says we have sealed the servants, all of the servants of our God in their forehead. It had to be something that could be seen physically. Now, I think if you're looking, if you're talking about the lobe that you're talking about, it's under the skull, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, they weren't talking about that. They were talking about something that could be physically seen without cutting the opening up the skull, you know, of the servant. It was a mark that could be physically seen. No questions asked, no nothing. You know, you didn't have to ask him was he a servant. If he had that mark, you knew he was a servant.
So what you're saying is that during the time of slavery, slaves had a mark in their forehead.
Exactly. It's real simple. It's not heavy. You know, they had a mark in their forehead. I haven't said what that mark is yet.
Like a branding? You know how you brand?
Yeah, like a brand or something. A brand or something. A sign or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a seal. That's what it's talking about. Maybe some people didn't understand the word seal. Yeah.
Okay, it's much clearer now.
Like you brand a cow or something. You know,
right.
But it was a mark that was put in that forehead.
Animal.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yes, like a domesticated animal. You know, you brand your cattle or some of the farm animal.
Yeah.
You know, you brand them in the hip or something like that. So you're saying black slaves, we were branded in our forehead.
Yeah, all of them. And all of them had the same mark. The marks were not different because they belonged to one master. They belonged to the papacy, and they had the mark of the papacy in their forehead.
Well, you know, they never – that's just one more piece of information that was – of course, it's not going to be taught in school. And I'd also like to point out that they're trying to – I just read an article that the Tennessee Tea Party is trying to remove the history of slavery out of the educational system. I should call it the diseducational system.
Watch this. Let me just interject this. That's impossible because they can't remove it from the Bible.
Absolutely.
And the Bible is a part of the educational system. We just haven't been taught it like that.
That's exactly what I was thinking earlier, that they can move to remove these things out of the course curriculum of these so-called schools, but the Bible itself is still an intact law book and a recording of history.
My information is intact. The information regarding the slaves in the Bible is not intact. I gave it the cohesiveness and whatever, you know what I'm saying? I put it together.
Yes.
It's out of order in the Bible. So it's not intact in the Bible. It's intact and in order in my document. And when I teach, there's a difference there.
Yes. All right. Well, we have a caller in the queue with a hand up. with area code 916. Area code 916, your hand is up. If you want to ask a question or comment, go right ahead. Your mic is open.
Greetings, Lord. May I be heard?
Oh, sir, nothing Nero. Mm-hmm.
Greetings to you, Mr. Welch.
Mr. Nero.
Excellent broadcast. I do have some questions. I know we don't have much time, but Lord, if I may ask you, sir, when I notice when you discuss the enslavement era, you never seem to, or you always seem to point out that there was a conquest and invasion of Africa. So I just wanted to be clearly understood. Are you saying, sir, that all Africans were enslaved in this conquest and invasion of Africa and its inhabitants?
What I teach is the Gentiles invaded Africa, conquered Africa, and all of it, you know, Aboriginal black people. That's what I say.
Do you, according to Bible content, did other Africans participate in the in selling black people to the Gentiles?
Very good question. The record says that the papacy sold black people into slavery, and it doesn't give that. It doesn't give, you know, say that anybody else aided or assisted in that. It says in Psalms 106:41-42 that the papacy, that's just one of the places where it says the papacy sold them. That's not the only place. The papacy sold the Africans into slavery at the hands of the Gentiles.
And so black people did not sell each other.
There is no authoritative record that I know of that, and the Bible clearly doesn't teach that.
Wow.
And the Bible is from, the statements in the Bible are from those who actually saw it, participated in it, and everything else. An accurate account. The descriptions that I give are accurate descriptions, and the conclusions are accurate, sound, you know?
Right. Now when you
and
say...
Accurate, sound, and reliable.
Okay. I don't know how much more time we have. Mr. Welch, do I have time for a few more questions?
Yes, sir. We have about, 22 minutes left in the show, so go right ahead.
Okay. And if the other caller has a hand up, I'll certainly acquiesce, and I can always come back. Just let me know, sir.
Yes, sir. Let's...
Mr. Hart, can you tell me, sir, when you say that the Africans were sent out to all the different scattered throughout the Gentile nations, is this just a particular few nations, or is this all Gentile nations?
The Bible says all nations of the Gentiles, all nations belonging to the Gentiles throughout the Roman Empire. Wherever the Roman Empire existed, territories subject to it, whatever, they were scattered and throughout the entire Roman Empire, America, the United States being a part of that Roman Empire.
Wow.
All of Europe and other, you know, territories and all.
Okay.
That Gentiles took over and took possession of.
Okay. In the past, you know, I've been taught that only plantations had slaves. And, you know, I assume plantations would be, you know, landowners, you know, with huge,
yeah, large,
you know, with, with, you know, acres of land that needed to be worked, so on and so forth. Is it your understanding that only these particular Gentiles had slaves, or did all maybe Gentile households have a slave or two or three or none at all?
All Gentiles participated in the slave traffic. All Gentiles. By law, all Gentiles had to have at least one slave. All Gentiles participated.
So then,
all Gentiles were subject to the edicts of the papacy.
Wow. So black people have been taught, because I've been taught, other than that, you know, it was pretty much just wealthy landowners and, you know, big businesses, things of this nature that participated, but you're saying, according to Bible content, that's not true.
All Gentiles participated. Had to, by law. Or they were subject to the penalties of the law.
Wow. Mr. Hart, your lordship, can you give us that law that states that they had to own a slave, and what would be the consequences of not having a slave in ownership?
I'm outside my house now. I don't have that right on top of my, you know, I can't give you that off the top of my head. Maybe some other time.
Oh, with respect to Bible content, is there any anything in the Bible content that states that or would corroborate that information?
Yeah, all that I teach comes from Bible content.
Yes.
Now let me say this. Now the things what he has asked, Mr. Nero has asked so far, those things are stated clearly. I'm trying to think of something that maybe I ascertained just as a result of study and analysis. But let's just say right now, everything that I teach comes from Bible content and is based on something in the Bible. Everything that I teach. Go ahead, somebody.
Mr. Nero, do you have another question?
I think for now I will rest with the questions that I've asked.
Let me say this. Did you know that slaves had to wear sackcloth? Did you know that was their clothing?
No, that was definitely new for me.
Okay.
And as well as the balding.
And what about the mark
and
the forehead?
And the branding as well, but knowing that on the last broadcast you made mention of us being removed from the category of Homo sapiens and turned into a product. And I couldn't help but think of so many products that I have and have had over the years, and how they typically have a brand either plastered on some kind of way, or sometimes maybe just literally branded into the casing of the...
Yeah, they have something that identifies themselves with the owner, the maker, or something like that.
Exactly. So I couldn't help but think that it just makes sense that if we were a product, like a cell phone or pair of earphones, if we were put in that same category, it makes sense to me that everybody would have had this product if it was, you know,
all the slaves,
reasonably priced, and of course, as the slave would age, I would imagine they would lose value, and so even if you were poor, I would think you'd be able to afford an older slave.
Whether they were rich or whether they were poor, all Gentiles had slaves. Whether they were old, young, or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Slaves, as I said today, in this episode, they were made a commodity, a product, things that are bought and sold, merchandise.
What about today? Used to do that. How would you classify us in this day? Are we still commodities? Are we still products?
I myself, of course, do not classify us as products and commodities. As I said today, that's why I made a clear statement. We are human beings. You know, we are people. Now, they gave a statement, in an affirmational statement in Ezekiel chapter 27, I think verse 13, where they affirmed it. They said, the statement says, they traded in the persons of men. They traded the persons of men. They traded the persons belonging to men. In that statement, they didn't say, you know, the afflicted or the poor and needy or whatever, you know, other descriptions they gave to the enslaved. They in that statement, they did call them persons because that's an affirmational statement. And so they acknowledged that they traded, they bought and sold men, you know, persons, people belonging to men. That means those who were belonging to were slaves. That's an affirmational statement. A confession. Okay? An acknowledgement. Coming from the papacy, who is speaking in behalf of all Gentiles.
Okay, I just want to point out really fast that we do have one more caller in the queue. If that caller wishes to dialogue, all you have to do is press 1 on your phone and it will raise your hand and I can open your mic. That caller is at area code 803. If you would like to speak at this time, press 1 and raise your hand and we'll let you come in.
I'll just say hello.
Yes.
If I could make a statement, can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
For those people who have been following your show, especially, following your broadcast and your program since the beginning, for those that have not either sent you an email or made a comment or reached out and contacted you or purchased a document, that is very disturbing if these people are black, non-white people, especially those who have probably been a Christian before, so-called Christian, or have their name on some roster at some church. I just see that as sinful if they have been following this broadcast from the beginning and they haven't contacted you at all. I don't know if that's just the. I know you teach on the holy, so-called Holy Ghost being intense fear. I don't know if that's Holy Ghost syndrome kicking in, but I just want to encourage them that to not be afraid any longer. You don't have to continue to live in such intense fear that you can't even reach out and speak to the person that has made such a phenomenal discovery since 1611. As far as I'm concerned, there is no more important information for black people than the work of Tommy Hart. So please, overcome your fear and speak out. And do it now.
Let me say this also. It doesn't matter whether you have your name on a church roll book or not. I'm not against you if you do, because most of us do. I mean, I don't, but it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. If you belong to a church, fine, good. But if you are acknowledging the truth, if you are following the truth, and, you know, you see that I am actually opening up Bible content and that I am making sense of Bible content, you know, which I am doing, but making sense to you, and that you are actually learning something and seeing actually what the Bible is really about, you know. Yes, you can feel free to, you know, say something, you know. And I'm not trying to force anybody, so I want you to feel free, you know what I'm saying? Don't want to try to sound like we're trying to force you to say anything. It's good that you're listening, you know. That's wonderful. Glad to have you listening, and just glad to have you listening. Okay, Mr. Welch or Mr. Nero?
Well, this is Mr. Welch. I would just like to say, you know, and not in the spirit of putting our people down, but the level of brain trash that has taken place as a result of the law coming down from the Vatican, which has definitely affected us in the greatest way. And what I mean by greatest is not the best, but in the greatest way, meaning nothing has been more damaging to us psychologically. And a person or people have to acknowledge that first. And otherwise, a person will continue to believe that what they've been taught, and I've said this before, what they've been taught from other family members, particularly their mother and father, that is the way to go because they know no other way. A lot of our people are scared of change. I think that could probably be one of the greatest components of why we do have listeners. We have listeners that come to the show, they listen to the archive. They are there. And it's quite a huge number too, but we would encourage you that you know, to keep coming back, listening and learning,
yeah.
Regardless of if you call in or not. Purchase the manuscript, get to know it, and then when you feel comfortable, then you can call us. You can email us with questions or comments if you want to be gone. You know, I hate to say it, but if you want to remain anonymous for now, then so be it. But this information cannot be refuted, and eventually it will come to pass that this information will be at the forefront. It already is, and we're working to for it to become a mainstay, and there's nothing that the old world of the Vatican can do about it, whether they recognize it or not. And we, you know, it's about us and what we affirm, and you know, so the new law is upon us, and you know, I'd hate to say it, but people step forth and come under the law, the new law. If you don't, you will be in violation, and that's my statement. We have 8 minutes left of the show, Mr. Hart.
All right, thank you.
I'm not as benevolent as our Lord, and I just feel like kicking black folk right now. So, you know, I'm not quite as kind as you, sir. So, because I'm like, it's been so long, and it's been enough listeners that by now there just should have, in my opinion, should have been more people stepping forth. But I, you know, hey, I'm sorry, I'm a little rough around the edges.
We want to be here. We want to be here. So when they do decide to chime in, you know, we want to be here. You know.
Yeah, I understand. I just, you know, I'm probably a bit harsh on them, but I'll try not to be so harsh on our people, but.
Right.
It's just disturbing that it's been this long, and it's, you know, the broadcast has been on for some time, and you know, I'm familiar with how many people have been listening. So it's just disturbing. It really is.
Well, just to say this, I am glad for those who do listen. You know, as whether they say anything or not, I'm glad that they are listening, because that tells me that they have to be getting something out of it to listen, whether by a download or otherwise. They have to be getting something out of it, and you know, what our task is to try to be here, you know, and continue, as I have been advised several times, continue to do what we're doing, and that way people get strengthened, you know, strengthened. And so I'm just glad that we have listeners, you know, whether they call in, don't call in.
Understood.
And but I was really excited. Well, I guess I'd be excited about every episode, but I was really excited about this episode, you know, to realize, to get a better understanding of the picture of a slave, you know, the picture. And these were our people, you know what I'm saying? And we should know these things. It's in the book, so we should know them. This is historical. This is accurate, sound, authoritative information. You know, there's no other information like this information, just as there's no other book like the Bible. You know, there is no other information like this information of ours. And it's just, I'm happy that the Bible has been found out, that we can actually begin to understand what it is and understand the content it contains. And I'm just excited about that. And today's program, to know that, wow, the slaves were all dressed the same. What clothing did they wear? They wore clothing made out of sackcloth, and they're all bald head. You couldn't tell one from the other. They're indistinguishable unless you were right up on one or on them, you know, and all. It's just really exciting. Learning is exciting, you know, and we've come a long way, and we have overcome. This is the victory, to come to the realization of what the Bible is, and to have a good, solid, sound, profound, accurate, and reliable and authoritative understanding of what Bible content is about. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Anybody got something to say about it? Hello?
Oh no, I think her.
Oh, everybody go.
No, I concur with what you stated.
It's just exciting.
It has been a very...
All this information been in this book all these years, and we, in America, 146 years post-enslavement, and in these 146 years, at the end of these 146 years, we are just coming to, we're just finding out what Bible content is all about in our day and time, and we can hear these things,